Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit. And we have yet another fantastic guest, someone who is just awesome and full of the Holy Spirit, Cecilia Fan, coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program in the Diocese of Orange. Welcome, Cecilia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And how is this new year working out for you? The Holy Spirit is alive!
So far, so good. There's a lot of really great energy, and we're excited. We have a lot of different events and opportunities coming up this year, so very excited.
Now, if my wife was here, she'd be nudging me, and because I'm about ready to sing a song. We're excited in the Lord. Okay, not enough on that. But, you know, excitement is a big part of what ministry is all about, and getting people on fire. And I've worked with young adults and trying to work with young adults a lot in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. And it's just so wonderful because they're so in love with the Lord and so on fire. And yet, for me, there's often this gap of communication. And, you know, how we communicate with young adults is something that is extremely important. And I want to get into that on this show, which is focused on young adult ministry. But before we do that, tell us about your journey and your background and how you got involved in this position.
So I was one of these individuals who was captured immediately during confirmation, during the sacramental process and preparation, that I fell in love with our faith in a very real and tangible way in my teenage years. And
awesome.
I was a child who I was very blessed. My parents were able to put all of us through Catholic school, so first grade through eighth grade in Catholic school, and then sacramental preparation. I mean, that was really where my faith came to life for me. And from that, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit in this very powerful way to live out ministry, to be God's hands and feet, to share the gospel of love, of mercy, of welcome and hospitality. It was something that I had never experienced in that type of way, in a community like that before. And so, I mean, that was really where my journey began.
You know, it's so exciting to be around people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are on fire with the Lord, because it just makes you even more on fire. And that's what I feel like when I'm around you, is that the Holy Spirit is just moving through you in such a powerful way. Where did you grow up?
Here in Orange County, actually, about 3 miles away in Anaheim.
In Anaheim. And what school did you go to?
I went to St. Callistus.
Wow,
yeah,
right here.
Right here. And then high school, Catella High School, go Knights. And then I was at Cal State Long Beach, got my undergrad there in business administration because I felt that that was more practical. So even though I knew I was called to something great with my life, I felt that I also had to be, I guess, smart. And I come from a family, and culturally, as much as my family was faithful and loyal and devout, and we went to Mass every single weekend, actually working in the church was not a feasible option. It wasn't going to buy you a house, right? It wasn't going to take care of children. And so initially saying to my family, I want to work for the church, there was actually quite a bit of resistance. Like, well, how will you build a life around that? And so I went and I got my undergraduate degree in business, which actually now is one of the best decisions I've ever made. And then a few years later, realized that, just answered the call instead of trying to resist it so much and saying, yes, God, this is what I want to do with my life. And then got my master's in pastoral theology from LMU.
Ooh, awesome. I went to LMU. Actually, I went technically to Loyola before it was LMU, but my brothers and sisters were on Empowered by the Spirit, high on top the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. We are with Cecilia Fan, coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program in the Diocese of Orange, talking about young adult ministry. And it's so important that we understand that young adults are thirsting, as we all are, for Jesus. And yet, perhaps how we package, how we communicate Jesus to them should be different than with, say, the baby boomers and so forth. And tell us about that.
I think you're looking at a huge shift in how we understand that faith is shared, faith is also realized and passed on. Because for a long while, I think it was easy to assume that, well, if mom and dad did it, and then if we went to church every single Sunday, this is what would stick. And due to a number of cultural shifts, societal shifts, you're seeing a generation and a few generations. I don't think it even starts with my generation, and I'm 30, but my parents' generation and how they were able to receive and also share faith. And the communication is key, just like what you're saying. And it's because we now, due to technology, and I mean, you hear that all the time, but you have to understand the weight of actually what that means. It's easy to hear something like that and be like, yeah, technology. It's because it surrounds us and it's easy to allow it to just sort of roll off of our shoulders as if, yeah, that's just something we deal with. It's like, no. It's not something we deal with. It is now integrated in who we are as people. And if we don't learn what the consequences are, good and bad, and also how it begins to influence and shift dynamics in human relationships, you're looking at something that is man-made shifting something human and organic. And that is huge. And you can, and for us, and especially in our office, we never can lose sight of that. You can never just sort of take advantage of the fact that, yeah, we know it's communication. We know it's technology. That has to be at the forefront, because as quickly as it changes, so do the receivers.
Now, one of the things that the young adults that I work with as part of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, have told me that social media, technology, music, community, those are all some critical elements in terms of just the packaging of how to communicate with young adults. And I want to start with the whole social media area, because it's so important that we understand that social media is something that can be an ally and doesn't necessarily have to be something to be feared. And I know there was a young adult actually in going to the school in Northern California who mentioned to me about more of a negative thing on social media, but going to a party and everyone would bring their iPhone or whatever, Android, and they would just sit around and they'd be texting each other in the party rather than talking to one another, right?
Yes.
You know, and it's just so crazy, but that is the world we live in. So tell us about social media and how your group, your department of young adult ministry, how you use social media to really make a difference.
So for us, we've realized that if we are not going to do it well, we're not going to do it at all. And that was a stance we took on very early. And so if you're looking at our office is a little slow coming in to the various social media platforms. And that's very deliberate on our end, because we were unwilling to take on task and time being spent in places that if we knew we weren't going to be able to go the extra mile to make sure that it was done well, that we weren't going to be able to do it at all. And actually, that's something, if I could ever suggest to any ministry or individual who's trying to use social media, to really discern and pray about how you are going to use it and who is going to help you utilize it. Because what we do know is that if it's used in irresponsible a little loosely, but in a way that is not, the quality is not high, the consistency is there, and that the message is diluted or confusing in any way, you become obsolete. So social media is a powerful tool, but when it's harnessed well and very intentional, is what it needs to be. And so for our office specifically, we have a Facebook page for our youth ministry side as well as our young adult. And so And for young adults specifically, there are two realms. And I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but that's really sort of where we are sitting right now. We're looking to launch a couple of things next year, but only after sitting down with our team and making a very strategic plan. And I know it sounds not exciting that way, but it actually is what needs to happen in order to really communicate well, because it's very easy to get lost in all the noise. And that's actually what social media can sometimes feel like. For me, I actually don't go on my Facebook unless it is for work. I don't touch it as often anymore. So, and I know that that's really where the shift is that with different platforms of social media, you had Instagram, right? And that's still a very powerful tool. And then Snapchat as well, and different organizations harnessing that type of power. But you really need to be able to understand it and how it fits what your message is before you just, I'm just going to start one day and then we're just going to go get followers. And then you wake up one morning, you're like, I can't do this. This is just too large of a load.
And it needs to be systematic and very strategic on how to do that. We're going to come right back with Cecilia Fan, and we're going to talk about what young adults are looking for as it relates to their spirituality. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Valentine's Day will be here soon, and we've got an exciting event planned for you. Experience a dynamic live cooking demonstration and dinner with world-renowned cooking priest Father Leo Padalinghug on Thursday, February 9th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Father Leo will do a special pre-Valentine's Day cooking demonstration infused with the beauty of our Catholic faith, happening live right before your eyes. Don't miss it. Go online to fatherleo.eventbrite.com. That's frleo.eventbrite.com.
Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Cecilia Fan, coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program for the Diocese of Orange. And we've been talking about social media and having a very systematic approach. And I'm on your social media, and you do a lot of communication as it relates to events, though, right, that are coming up. And that's always helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the strategies as it relates to how you use social media. But one of the things we're mentioning is we have to be very systematic and not just be, you know, being pushed around like a tumbleweed, you know, and to make sure that what we're doing has Jesus at the center of it. And sometimes we forget that.
Oh, absolutely. So much of that is rooted in discernment and being prayerful. I mean, people in the secular world use strategic, and then you can kind of move on a spectrum and it becomes intentional. But really what the root of that is discernment. What is God calling us to do in this very moment?
Exactly. And how are all the dots connected to what God is calling us to do? Along those lines, again, we're talking about young adult ministry here on Empowered by the Spirit. You know, again, the difference in terms of how young adults want to be fed. Tell us about that.
Fed. I'm going to go and use a word that we use a lot, and that's going to be genuine. And another key term that we always are putting before us and praying about is authenticity. Again, it's another word that gets thrown around a lot, and people don't understand the weight of it. But I always ask our young adult leaders or parishioners who are really passionate about young adult ministry to say, when was the last time you had a very authentic conversation with another young adult? Authentic. One where you weren't expecting anything, you weren't trying to defend anything, you weren't trying to tease something out, but just something where there were no walls, and you were just able to share your own life, your own faith, and then allow him or her to do the same. And when you start breaking it down like that, it begins to shift, because in this document, actually, that came out, Most Reverend Christophe Pierre, he's the Apostolic Nuncio to the U.S., and he just wrote a document specifically speaking about the next synod about young people. And it's so interesting because Pope Francis has talked about accompaniment since he started. And again, another word that we begin to kind of glaze over because you hear it so often. But really what that means, to accompany somebody, to walk with them and how powerful that actually is. And so when we're looking for a ministry, you're looking to create a home. So think about all the different things that signify to you home. What are the smells, the feelings, the sound, all the very tangible things that are a home? And that's actually what young adults are looking for, a landing place in a very crazy world that is constantly changing. Where can we land? And without the expectation that that's going to be a forever landing place, that while we are here in this space and time, that we can find a place to call home, even if it's temporary.
My brothers and sisters, we're on Powered by the Spirit with Cynthia Fan, who is the coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program for the Diocese of Orange, talking about young adult ministry, talking about being genuine, talking about finding a home. Let's take a look at Scripture. Open up your Bibles to Acts 2, verse 46. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area, to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God, enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And if we go to chapter 4, the community of believers was of one heart and one mind, and they took care of one another, and there was no one needy among them. And I think that really relates to certainly young adults, but relates to the entire church in the sense that everyone is looking for family. Everyone is looking to be loved and to be part of a loving environment. And I just think with young adults, at least in my opinion, the way the young adults communicate their issues are so much different than, say, older people, baby boomers or whatever, that they like to communicate with each other because they feel like, well, you understand me better. And your thoughts on that?
I might be an outlier from a personal experience, and I think that's actually where it comes from, is the personal encounter with Jesus is really what we are trying to build within this young adult community, is to draw them into that relationship further or to experience that for the first time for many of them. But that also begins with the personal encounter of another person. And so when you're talking about the different channels of communications or the different ways we communicate, that it's valid. And I mean, we're going to go back to that social media aspect. Because we have social media, it actually makes it so much more difficult to have a personal encounter because we're used to something being in the middle. We're used to something we're used to that extra time that it takes to text a message, and very, not fearful, but worried about the actual, what you risk in a person-to-person interaction. But that's actually really where the encounter is with Christ, is in experiencing that with another person. Did I answer that correctly?
No. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of correct or non-correct, but it's an issue of really understanding the fact that all of us, I think if I understand what you're saying, all of us are being called, I believe, into a personal relationship with Christ.
Yes.
All of us are being called into a metanoia, which is a complete change. In our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, we talk about this all the time, that the most difficult journey, but the most important journey, is a journey from the head to the heart.
Yes.
And so many times people are head knowledge about God, about Jesus, but they haven't experienced the risen Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't experienced Jesus in their heart. They haven't made that Pentecostal leap, in mm-hmm. a sense, on Pentecost, when the doors were flung open because the Holy Spirit came upon them. You know, and I see that happening throughout the church, but certainly with young adult ministry, when people get on fire for the Lord because they have that personal relationship and they want to share that. Your thoughts?
I mean, I absolutely agree. But what I think what happens is we try and get there too quickly sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think there is, from what I've seen, that for someone like me in how I grew up and how faith was so much a part of my life and being a part of a community so early on, I think it's easy to say that absolutely is what happened for me. However, I think if we're looking at a majority of young adults who didn't have that foundation, who didn't have a foundation, a family that spoke about faith, an education that was filled with faith, and then powerful experiences after to bring that to life. Without those pieces, I would have never recognized or have been able to understand what a personal encounter with Jesus is. And I think until there are certain pieces put in place for especially young adults who don't have that foundation, it is extremely difficult. And I think that's what we're looking at for the majority. I think we want to look out and say that everyone has had this, but the more and more I talk to young adults, the more and more I hear how they long for that, how they've never had that in their lives, how they've had devout parents. However, no one ever spoke about faith. So I saw it because we went to church every Sunday, but I had these big questions that I grappled with, and no one answered them for me.
And they saw how their parents lived their lives, and it wasn't necessarily in context to what they said,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you have that issue. Would you agree that there's not one formula, though,
no.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, like you say, a light goes off, a switch goes off, and they're on fire. For other people, mm-hmm. it's just a slow process. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm going to share in Romans 10 is something that we believe very strongly here and Empowered by the Spirit, and that is talking about Jesus. And in Romans 10, it says, "For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart, you raise him from the dead, you'll be saved." And further on in Romans 10, "How can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of those who bring the good news." I just really think it's important that we talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus as it relates to the fullness of Christ, how much he loves us, what the good news is. I'm going to challenge you right now, and not right this second, but just to keep in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. Next time you're at a young adult meeting or whenever it comes up, ask them to define what the good news means.
That's a good question.
I mean, really, mm-hmm. if you ask any parish, adults, young adults, whatever it might be, what does the good news mean to you mm-hmm. personally?
Mm-hmm.
Their answer will greatly determine kind of where they are in their spiritual walk.
I agree.
And for so many people, they don't understand the power of how much God loves them, that he died on the cross for them, that they may have eternal salvation. John 3:16. We must understand that, not in the head, but in the heart. What does that mean, that he died for me personally, my brothers and sisters? What does that mean to you? Your thoughts?
That, I know. I'm trying. That was that was beautiful, by the way, Deacon. Thank you for that. It means that I don't have to be afraid.
Amen. Amen.
That in a world that feels scary, that feels unknown, and where I feel as if I have very little control, that I have nothing to fear.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm Powered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about young adult ministry.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Cecilia Fan, who is the coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program for the Diocese of Orange, talking about young adult ministry. And we were talking about the importance of evangelization. And what does that mean? The word itself means good news, to talk about good news. But people don't want to be preached at. They want to be loved.
Yes, absolutely.
And what is so important is that it's the old song, "We will know that we're Christians by our love." What people want to do is they want to feel like someone really cares about them, that they love them. And so outside of Mass, how often do we talk to people that we don't know to get to know them? Your thoughts on that?
You should be talking to people all the time, actually. Building relationships is actually how we build the church. And we're looking at a church that actually, that finds it very difficult to do that. For myself, especially. I think it's been a very big struggle for me to go out into even my own diocese and meet young adults from all over the place who I don't know and put myself out there to be vulnerable and to start conversations when I don't know people and things are so uncertain. And what if you judge me or what if I make the wrong impression, right? But that can't be what we are worried about. It's about when we talk about personal encounter, they will encounter you before they encounter Jesus.
And you are Jesus to them. You are Jesus's eyes, ears, heart, mm-hmm. ears, everything. You know, in diaconate formation, we talked about when we stand on holy ground is when we listen, when we ask questions and listen, when we truly ask them how they are, but not just make it a platitude, but something in which we really want to find out what is really going on.
Exactly. Because listening is an acknowledgement of existence. It's me saying, you are here, you are real, and not that I care about you, but that you have value. And that value is something that comes from that doesn't really come from anywhere else in this world that we live in. For someone to put down their devices, to put down all of their other apprehensions or expectations of you, and allow you to just be you, is so powerful. Because those are the relationships I remember. The, how are you? Oh, I'm okay. How you doing? Okay, I'll see you later. That doesn't cut it.
Well, even for older people like myself, you just said something that was like hit me right between the eyes. Put down your devices, because we get to be slaves to our devices, mm-hmm. to our phones and texting and Facebook and all that stuff. When people are right there in front of you that really want to just look at your eyes and make sure that you are focused on them and you're listening to them and trying to make a difference in their lives by loving them where they are, not trying to change them. Isn't that an amazing thing when you're actually around somebody who you really feel are interested in you as a person and not judging you and not trying to change you, but, you know, what's going on? You know, tell me about it. Doesn't have to be great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay to say that, hey, I'm not doing well right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really struggling. That is the beginning, I believe, of love, of holiness.
Yeah. I think it's too easy to rush to the next thing. We're constantly moving. And especially with young adults, because they are constantly moving, it's almost as if we need other people to stop us and to slow us down and say, well, no, really, how are you doing? And that in itself is powerful for anybody at any period. I mean, just look at this holiday season and how hectic it can get with all of these tasks, right? And for young adults, it's about tasks. You're constantly moving from one event and one relationship or one job to another. But going back to when we were talking about discernment earlier, it's having someone say, hey, but really, have you taken a moment to look at everything moving around you? And that's what the church is so, that's what our faith does so beautifully. And that, I think, is by far more valuable.
And one way to start, too, is in your prayer life. Start with the Lord. Let's take a look at Psalm 102, Prayer in Time of Distress. It says, Lord, hear my prayer. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. It's just so important to let Jesus know where you are right there. Maybe you don't feel like praying. Maybe you're disappointed in different things that are happening. Maybe you feel all alone. My brothers and sisters, we all feel broken sometimes. Go to the Lord and then just be quiet and let him listen to you. And then when you experience that oneness with the Lord, when you experience that love of Jesus, then you can share it with other people. Mm-hmm. Then you can go out and say, I understand how you feel, because I often get there too, where I feel broken, I feel alone, I feel abandoned. But God is there, and God sends people to be there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not about fixing anything. So much of what we want to do is, oh, but look, this is how we can remedy that, or this is how we can change this. And it's as a person on the other end saying, no, that's not who I'm called to be. Because listening in that way sometimes requires that you actually say nothing at all, and being fully present, and not worrying about how can we get to a result, or how can I use this person as an objective of some sort. And I think that actually happens a lot with ministers that I see and young adult leaders that I work with. I'm like, oh, but I need to find out how this other person can help us on like this email list, or how we can grow this group. I said, no. If all you're looking at is a young adult as a means to an end of some sort, you will never be able to capture him or her, because that's not what we're trying to build. God didn't build his kingdom that way. Jesus especially didn't call the disciples that way.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral, talking about young adult ministry with Cecilia Fan, coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program for the Diocese of Orange. And we're really talking about loving people, communicating with people, how we make a difference. And you hit another thing that just hit me right between the eyes. You're doing that today to me. Put down your device. That's number one for everybody. And the Lord's talking to me about that. And the second thing is, don't try and fix it. And this to all the guys out there in particular, to all the fixers, you know, and whether you're a guy or a woman or male, it doesn't matter. Cause I had a female recently, give me some texts, you know, when I said, hey, I'm just struggling right now. I'm hurting a little bit, you know, the holidays, not feeling real well, whatever. Well, go to adoration, you know, do this, read this scripture. They'll send you something, you know, and that's great. I love it. But it's kind of not what I wanted to hear. You know, part of it is saying, it's okay. Just turn to God and let him love you. And, you know, you're going to get past this, because, you know, I'd like to say that life is all about being, oh, everything's great all the time. But that's not the way it is.
I mean, we are hopeful people, right? I mean, Advent, this waiting in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, that is something that's very much rooted into who we are as a people of faith. But also in that is the messiness of it all, and the ugliness. And actually, it's okay to sit there. And what I see so often, even just those who are closest to me, is this struggle to want to reach out from the bottom of the pit so quickly. And it's not about just hanging out where it's uncomfortable, but it's about understanding what it means to be in that, to understand yourself and how you can grow in that, and not just trying to find the nearest exit route. Because there's something to be learned, something to be had from what we experience day to day, even in the painful. And there's beauty also that evolves from so much of that. And we miss that because we're so eager to find the fix.
You know, one of the things I was, there was a nonprofit one time that I was on the board of, and they focused on, it was a psychologist, and they focused on communication skills and listening skills and relationship enhancement. And they taught you this skill of going even deeper. And when someone is saying something to you, not trying to fix it, not trying to respond to the words, but to the feelings, it sounds like you really feel like you're alone, or it sounds like you're very angry about the fact that that happened or whatever. Tell me more about that.
When we do small faith sharing groups, as a facilitator, you are always asked, while you are listening, to respond and not react. And the difference between the two of just hearing something and going, oh, this is the first thing that popped into my mind, I'm going to say that. But again, back to the discernment, the understanding of, again, stopping. If I have one of my sisters who comes to me upset with my mother, am I just going to react and be like, yeah, I'm so mad, mom did the same thing to me? Or am I going to take a moment and just breathe and ask God who I need to be in that very moment? And most of the time, that leaves me with just saying, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm here. I understand. Not adding fuel to the fire, but not fixing anything, not, you know, just being so present. Because most of the time, so many of us actually already know. which direction we're supposed to be headed. And we just need the space, the safety, the trust, the environment in order to do that. And that's another opportunity for the church to be a, when it comes to being a home, it's a place where I can fully trust, where I can fully be honest. And going back to this genuine environment is that even if I am struggling, I'm not worried about having to fix it for myself because I need to be perfect in any way. It's about finding a community that accepts and affirms me even in the messiness and the ugliness of what it means to be a human.
Amen, amen, amen. Jesus would say amen, amen on something really important, and that is really important, is accepting people for where they are, not trying to change them. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about young adult ministry. Deacon Steve Greco, we're back here, beautiful Christ Cathedral, high atop the Tower of Hope. And come see us sometime out here in this beautiful campus at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And we have had an incredible guest, Cecilia Fan, who is coordinator of Young Adult Ministry Program. And we're talking about how we communicate, how we love people, how we listen to people, especially young adults. And you've been involved in this ministry now for how many years?
1.5.
Woohoo!
I mean, here at the diocese, but at the parish level for a number of years.
Many years. Mm-hmm. What's working in young adult ministry to our many radio audiences across the country here that are listening in, that are part of young adult ministry? They want to know from you right now, what has worked in which you see fruit being born?
Consistency. And I say that because we were talking earlier about the long, hard work that young adult ministry is and the patience that it requires because of young adults transitioning in and out and their movement constantly. But consistency is actually key because the church needs to be a place I know for certain is always going to be open to me. So, for example, we have a particular parish that the minister started out just meeting every Thursday at the same time, doing the same thing. And it was casual. It was meeting to pray and to share. And it was maybe about an hour long. And for the first maybe 6 months, he got maybe 10, sometimes 7 people. And in the last year, he's been able to grow that to some 20 people. And that sounds small, but you're looking at consistently coming for prayer weekly.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. And the thing is because he's also a youth minister, he can't devote actually any more time to kind of growing the young adult ministry. This was something that he felt called to do. But if he had more time, I'm positive that he would be able to grow that network a lot wider and the community, but because he has, you know, some time restraints. But the consistency of it is actually key. So if you're going to meet in the same place, meet at the same time. And I know that's a struggle for a lot of parishes. So if there are any other individuals out there who are listening who have control over rooms and whatnot, I know young adult groups who don't even have a place to meet. And to me, that means that you're struggling with basic needs. And if you're struggling with basic needs to survive, how do you grow, right? So if you're in any position of authority in any parish and your young adults are looking for a place to meet, that's how they're going to grow, by providing a place that they know that they can always go. Because I might not be able to go every Wednesday, but I'll know that the Wednesday I am free, I can go. So that's one very practical
and
way.
And one of the things that young adult ministers have told me is to really certainly pray, but to go to the parish staff, to go to the pastor, and plead your case in a sense, right? Is young adult ministry a priority in that parish? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like a no-brainer, mm-hmm. but so many young adult ministers have told me not necessarily true. that some parishes do not make it a priority. And so I, for all those that are listening out there that are pastors or priests or part of a parish, please make young adults a priority. We all know it's our future. Mm-hmm. And it is a supreme assignment, I believe. Evangelization, but certainly young adult ministry is a huge part of that evangelization. Mm-hmm. Other things that you found effective?
It becomes a parish shift. So when we're talking about a parish that becomes young adult friendly, it's not just by having one group that fits the bill and you're going to put all the young adults from 18 to 39 into one group, because we actually know that that's not realistic at all. However, it becomes a whole shift. So even earlier when we're talking about walking up to somebody after Mass and saying, who are you? How are you? Right? That can't just happen with one sole volunteer person or one minister. It requires that an entire parish realize how important it is to recognize, acknowledge, and see the young adults, the young families in the parishes, in the pews, and say, how are you and who are you? And that is actually much harder, but much more powerful. Because imagine if I was walking out of Mass and I had one to two people approach me wondering who I was. It's a lot easier to make connections, to feel wanted, and to make roots in a place. So seeing how you can change the language at a parish and the energy so that the entire parish, that everyone in the pews recognizes that this is going to be important for all of us.
And what about different masses for young adults? Are you in favor of that, not in favor of it? Does it matter? Music, you know, how does that fit in?
And that's going to vary. I've seen where that has worked very well. I think it depends on the demographic of the parish. And if you have a younger young adult group, early college age especially, a separate Mass is sometimes very helpful, because young adults at that stage are still very much trying to identify with other young adults and finding that community. But if, say, you're in a particular parish where you have young families, right? A 5:30 Mass on a Sunday is probably not practical when you have a 2-year-old. They're probably going to be going to the 9:30 Mass. So that's actually where your young adults are, because they're in their 30s and then they have small children. So it really just depends. And it goes back to being intentional and deliberate about seeking out and looking out and saying, where are they and who are they? Because until we learn where they are, we're never going to be able to meet those needs. And they vary from parish to parish.
And what are some other things that you have found effective here in the last few years?
Relevant events. So we always have prayer services. We just had our annual Tizay prayer service up in the chapel in the sky, and beautiful, and just something, a time of silence and prayer and music and gathering, and quietness and stillness, which is always important, and providing those opportunities for prayer and silence in a very, again, noisy, chaotic world, but relevant events. We just did a whole series on connecting young adults to resources for money management, budgeting, how to buy a house, how to invest properly. This is something that we actually never get taught unless you had a parent or an aunt and uncle or somebody who in your life was able to sit down and sort of hash out that for you, but providing something that I actually can walk away with and say, oh gosh, look at the church helped me do this. And then the church becomes a place that I go to seek help. And as well, we're looking to launch something on relationships. And we've had a great response to that, because we recognize that the conversation about marriage and relationship happens too late. Marriage prep, if I've already sent the invitations out, if I've already booked the venue and placed a deposit, and now you're asking me to reflect on my relationship with my fiance.
Exactly.
Chances are it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But if we start having very deep and rich conversations about what it means to be in a marriage and how beautiful the sacrament is and how we are called to how our marriages are called to share joy and love in this world, that changes everything. But you can't do that 6 months before a wedding.
it's so important that we understand that in order to make a difference, we have to look at the whole person. You know, we have to make a difference in every aspect of their lives. That's part of the reason why we got involved in an employment initiative, mm-hmm. help them when they're in transition, mm-hmm. how to do LinkedIn, how to interview and so forth. And I think all of that relates to, I want to make a difference in your life because I care about you.
Exactly. Cure personalis is the care of the whole person. So not just your spiritual needs, but your family needs, your economical needs, your basic needs. I mean, we did our finance series and the one subject that kept coming up was student debt over and over and over mm-hmm. again. How do we manage this? And you're looking at a generation that is coming out with more student debt than any other generation. And we are crippled by that. We can't make life decisions. We can't get married. We can't buy a house. We are just saddled with debt. And how does the church respond to that? And it's not necessarily that we're all looking for free money, but we are looking for a place that is going to allow us to discover how we navigate all of this. And sometimes it's just practical.
And one of the most important things is that the church is there to love you through the love of Jesus. Cecilia, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're
awesome. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the gifts of young adults. We ask, Lord God, blessings upon them, upon families, upon all of their ministries, their jobs, their comings and goings. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Heal them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.